in a Vedic perspective, our souls actually incarnate with the same kind of figures throughout different lifetimes, but they play different roles in our lives. So for example, your mother may have been like your brother in a past life. Your sister may have been your neighbor, or the same characters end up playing all of these different roles to play out different karma with each other. So you're going to experience, like, I'm sure you guys knew you were sisters in a past life. Maybe you were mother, daughter in one other life. And then maybe you were soldiers same army.
We were soldiers in an army.
Yeah. Yep. I was soldiers in the army.
Remember that one, dear?
Yeah.
with your husband?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And my brother, and Deepak Chopra was the general.
We were like, no way. We were like hiding something. We were like prisoners of war or something. Yeah. We were like hiding something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we all have this unique, you know, karma that we're meant to play out with different people. And that's very much going to affect our dharma. Like, for example, you know, with, let's say, you've always felt like you were your mother's mother, right? You were always mothering her, teaching her, et cetera. Like, that actually could have been your role in a past life. So in this lifetime, it's learning you're not the mother anymore. You're the daughter. You get to receive. You get to be the child. But it could feel so unfamiliar to you because your body, your soul's memory is so different.
Wow.
I want to talk about how you mentioned about dharma is not your career. And I think there's this like intertwining of identity and career in especially Western culture. And I can even say for myself, but what would you say, can you talk a little bit more about that, that your dharma is not your career?
Yeah. So I see your dharma as your mission statement. You know, like if I go on a company's website and I look up their mission statement, it's their why. So your mission statement could be to
mostly
bring
bullshit, but
yeah, like, we believe in an innovative future with innovation.
It's just like all buzzwords.
Innovation on top.
Yeah. Yeah, they're like, we're also Walmart.
Here to change the fabric of society.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. And all while being eco-friendly. You're like, okay.
So that's like, this would be a real deal one. Okay. This is the Etsy shop one. So let's say your mission statement is to bring beauty to the world, right? So whatever you do, you're going to bring beauty to it. So like Lindsay, I see you definitely having this. You're here to bring like beauty and artistry and like sonic alchemy and use your voice to heal the world. So that could show up for you. Now, as your company's mission statement, you have different services. Now, those could be careers, jobs, project roles, etc. So you could do this podcast using your voice. You could sing. You could make music. You could do sound bowls. There's so many things that you could do all under the same umbrella of that dharma. So a lot of people I see, they're mad at themselves of like, why can't I stick to one thing? I must not have a purpose. I keep changing my mind. And actually different doshas, I kind of break it down into different doshas, which are different Ayurvedic archetypes, resonate with dharma in a different way. So people who are more vata, more air, more creative, they're more likely to need different types of stimulation. They might need to express their gifts in very unique ways. So they're the type of person, like I have a lot of vata in me that I'm like, I want to write a book and I want to do the podcast and I want to dance and do these other things that like might not feel totally related, but are still under my same umbrella of raising consciousness and bringing ancient wisdom to the world and connecting people to the feminine. But those are all of the different ways that I could do it. Now, people who are more pitta, that's more of the fire energy, they tend to like go after one goal and completely stick to it. They have this like laser focus like energy. So they might, you know, I have this idea. We turn cars into taxis. I'm creating Uber, and they like just go for it. That might be a lifetime, or that might just be a period of their life and they move on to something else. But it's with this level of focus and intensity. Now, people who are more kapha, which is the earth dosha, that like they're more earthy, caring, the nurture archetype that I write about in the book, they tend to resonate with dharma more as a role that they play. Like, I'm here to really connect with people, or I'm here to, you know, resonate with people on a deep soul level. So they might just have one throughout their lives. Like, they might be like, I'm a therapist and I love being a therapist and I don't want to do a million things. And they might be looking at the vata of like, am I doing something wrong? Because that person keeps changing their mind. But truthfully, they're here to be the therapist or even be the mother. I see a lot of people of like, oh, maybe my dharma is just to be a mom. And first of all, if you're using the word just, then I'm going to assume it's not your dharma, because someone whose dharma truly is to be a mom would never use the word just. They would never say, this is not enough, right? So the fact that you are saying just to be a mom means then it's not your dharma because you're not feeling like it's enough or you haven't fully stepped into it.
But for example, a lot of people who are more of the nurturer, they might deeply find themselves through motherhood, and then that might transition to them, you know, joining the PTA or creating a nonprofit or creating a formula that they gave their babies, and their dharma actually might come through that role. So to me, it's so important to understand that there's no one face to dharma. It's not like one person just, you know, I think in our society, we so celebrate the person who just takes the risk and sells their things and lives in the van and like makes it. Mm-hmm. And that's just not how it is. I actually share about three paths to getting to your dharma. So the first path is that leap of, you know, for example, I hate my job. I don't like where my life is going. So I'm just going to backpack in the Himalayas until I find my purpose. And that can work really well for those more pitta people, those more intense all or nothing people. Or if your job is so deteriorating for your mental health that staying in it is just so damaging for you, you can't think clearly, you might need to make the leap. However, if you have kids that you're paying for, or, you know, a family that is depending on you, or you get really stressed out in really vulnerable situations like this, then the leap is not for you. Then there's the transition, which is where I write about Almost 30, and specifically your journey, Krista, which you've shared on this podcast, of the transition is when you have, you know, a job that, you know, maybe it's not like your full dharma, but you're not hating life every day either. Like, you can keep going at it, and it's giving you the space to explore what it is that you really want to do and then build that thing up enough so it can support you if you are seeking support from your dharma. So you guys, you know, started Almost 30 in your closet and kept working at it, building your community, finding sponsors, creating this whole team and this whole mission around it. And then you were able to decide for yourself, when do I feel at a comfortable enough space to now transition, like I call it the slow fadeaway, into now you're fully stepped into your purpose. Whereas imagine if in like 2016 or 17, when you guys started this, you're like, Lindsay, we're starting a podcast. It's going to pay our rent. Let's do it. You know, like that would have been so stressful, and it just wouldn't have worked. And then maybe you guys would have like tried to do things for money that wouldn't have been alignment. You couldn't have made it as authentic as you have today. So that can happen through the transition. Now, for some people, the challenge is they end up not doing it. So they end up saying, you know what, I'm going to, you know, start this podcast and it's going to be my main thing. But because they have their other job, it ends up taking more of their time. And then working on it from the weekends becomes every other week, becomes every month, becomes never. And that same fire is not there. It's not like a make it or break it situation. So it can easily just never happen. And then the third is the accidental dharma. So this is when you're not looking for your purpose, but your purpose just finds you. So an example I share in the book is a friend of mine's uncle was like an engineer in his 50s, engineer his whole life, never even questioned what's my purpose. And his company, the HR team in his company, said everyone has to take an art extracurricular. So he was like looking through, he's like, okay, I'll just do pottery. Randomly chooses pottery. Coincidences don't exist, by the way, but he chooses pottery, gets his hand on the wheel. He's like, I love this. I love how the earth feels in my hands and I can make pots and bowls. And he starts going every single day. He's like obsessed with getting on this wheel. He's making things for everyone on the team and then his family. And now he's a full-time potter, which is very, very rare in today's world. And, you know, the first half of his life was being an engineer. The second half was being a potter. It just found him. So I share that these three paths because we try to say this person made it in this way, therefore I should shape my experience based off of that. And it's never going to be the case because, again, each of us is so different, different doshas, different souls. So sometimes an accidental dharma does find you and you don't trust it. So that same engineer could have loved pottery and been like, you know, but I could never do a career, you know, making pottery, and not trusted it. So I think all of us have been nudged of what that dharma can be, but we don't listen. So it's also trusting, where do I feel at home? Where do I feel like my fullest self? Where do I feel most expansive, and leaning more into that?
Thank you so much for tuning in to Morning Microdose by Almost 30. We hope you enjoyed waking up. As always, we encourage you to take what resonates and leave the rest. If you enjoyed this trip, tune into the full episode on the Almost 30 podcast. All episode information can be found in the show notes.
Make sure to subscribe, and if this becomes a part of your morning routine, be sure to share it with a friend. We have new inspiring doses Monday through Friday. Follow us on Instagram at Morning Microdose and follow Almost 30 at Almost 30 Podcast.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you in the vortex.